lot of people ask about the trip. Well, the 1,254 miles was terrible, as they always are. We did not find a house.
Amen.
So I know you're going to... Isn't that awful? I've never been in a spot like this in my life. Everybody in the church praying against me. I never had this in my life before. We didn't know that we can get a house, but it's steps and a ramp. I know that's going to be out in time. But anyway, that's where we are. And let's read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 first, shall we? It's a brief verse here. And I heard somebody quote this preaching just a while ago. Hebrews 12:14. Here's what it says. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I've heard two approaches to that. One is, and the first one, holiness we get when we're saved, and then we'll see the Lord at the end of the road. And the other is, if I don't live a holy life, people won't see the Lord in me. And I don't object to that second one. That makes truth also. All right, with that, go to 1 Corinthians 6, if you will. Now, you have that ready, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Important words in the Bible. This is message number 5 on this subject. Thus far, we've looked at the words repentance, justification, reconciliation, and adoption. And today we're going to look at important word number 5. And that's the word holiness or sanctification. Number 5. I think it best if I start by clearing up something for you. And when you read through your New Testament and you come to the word sanctification or the word holiness, if you could train yourself to remember that both words mean exactly the same thing. And if you could do that, or maybe make you a note there by the passage in Hebrews 12 that we read. So when we talk about important words in the Bible, we're on number 5, and we're looking at holiness, which is sanctification, and sanctification, which is holiness. They both mean the same. It's like a dead man and a deceased man. It's both the same. It's like dark and night. They're both the same. So these two words mean the same. And through this message, I'm going to swing back and forth and talk about holiness and then talk about sanctification. And so you try to remember, I'm talking about the same thing when I use words that sound different. Out of the word holiness or sanctification, a cluster of words will be found hanging on the branches of New Testament Scripture. For example, when we talk about sanctify or saints, obviously, the mother of those two is sanctification. When Paul writes a letter to the saints at Ephesus or the saints at Corinth or the saints wherever, that word is a cluster word or a word out of holiness or a word out of sanctification. There's a couple of more. I looked a few more up this morning. We will read about consecrate or devout in your Bible. Those two words also come out of sanctification and holiness. So remember now, as we move along, we're talking about sanctification and holiness, but we're talking about something that's the same. I want to show you now how these words are understood today by people. Holiness, or sanctification, but holiness in the thinking of people, especially in the southern United States, and especially in some churches in the southern United States. To them, holiness is something that you see on the outside of a Christian. And that's all they know about holiness. It works like this. Holiness is something that a person does do or does not do on the outside, and that's the total essence of holiness. Now, here's how it works. He doesn't smoke, he must be a Christian. That's a mark of holiness. He doesn't curse, that's a mark of holiness, so he must be a Christian. She doesn't wear makeup, she only wears black stockings and her hair in a bun on the back of her head, so she must be a Christian. I tell you, one of the meanest women I ever met in my life wore black stockings and her hair in a bun. I mean, she's mean as hell, that woman was. I'm telling you. Oh, here's how it goes. She has nice long hair. He has short hair. So they're holy. They must be Christians. Now, no doubt, and I don't argue against this, there are some of these outward marks that I've touched on would signal holiness inside. I have no problem with that. But the idea that only do we determine if a person is holy by certain marks that we've set up, I want to tell you, is ludicrous. And the Bible does not teach it. And so, if we measure people, let me give an illustration here. Some of these marks do indicate holiness and some of them don't. You know, Paul spoke, I think it's in Hebrews 6:7, about things that accompany salvation. And I want to tell you, pal, there's some things that accompany salvation. And if you think I'm preaching, you're saved, and you're the same old Joe afterwards, well, you're not even in the ball game because it doesn't work that way. But because a man refuses to drink liquor or swear does not prove he's a Christian. Now, I know. I worked for a man in a shoe heel factory for years, a firm businessman. He wouldn't tolerate nonsense out of anybody. And he did it. He did it right. And I want to tell you, this man, he wouldn't swear and he wouldn't touch liquor. And if he was saved and in heaven, I don't want to go. You see, there are a lot of people who don't swear and don't curse and don't drink liquor just because they don't like it and they're mean as the devil in their hearts. See, we need to get the balance here. And so because we're in the South and we're victims of tradition that has grown up in the church, and one of the things that will torpedo a church and send it to David Jones' locker, fair dinkum fast, is when that church begins to embrace tradition as sound biblical fundamental doctrine. And then they begin to propound tradition as doctrine. And if you do that, I can tell you after a while, the congregation says, yes, that's doctrine, and they begin to accept it. And when you're in a mess like that, brother, you're in a mess. And if anybody comes along and tries to straighten it out, he's finished because he's going against the truth of God's Word. And it's not the truth of God's Word. Some of it's not. Not all tradition is bad. Not all tradition. My dad used to tip his hat at women. Used to stand up when they walked in the room. That's a Southern tradition. What a man does today, he stands and looks her up or down until she's out of sight. Amen? Right. Now, that's pretty tough, but that's how it is. You see, that's how far we've departed from these things. So, the idea that because a person has certain marks on the outside, they're clean cut, they're well dressed, they're neat, that proves that they're a Christian, that's not necessarily so. If you've ever had two Mormons pitch up at and as far as I'm concerned, the Mormon church is straight out of hell. Now, you can get mad and not come back if you want to, for me, and I'm not saying that to drive anybody off. I've worked with them, I've seen them. Anybody who will teach that Jesus Christ is a brother of Lucifer is a damnable organization. Amen. Period. Yes. Period. You say, my mom and my dad, I don't care about your mom and dad. Jesus Christ is not the brother of Lucifer. He's not even a half-brother of Lucifer. He had four half-brothers and two half-sisters, and they were born of Mary. And so Mormons pitch up on our doorstep, and they're well-dressed, and they're clean, and they're neat, and they're well-mannered, so therefore they're Christians. Now, you've got to understand, I believe a person ought to be well-dressed. I believe a person ought to be clean. I believe a person ought to be neat. However, there's to some people in their environment and their background, they've not gotten this yet. And because they haven't gotten it yet, We got to be patient with them and help them in hopes that they will get it. So the Southern tradition that holiness is black stockings, no makeup, no earrings, you dress down to the floor and up to your neck and hanging over your trigger finger, and that proves that you are an outstanding believer, that's a bunch of garbage. Amen. Period. Amen. All right, so we got that. Now, I'm not saying that for women to go around wearing a wristwatch and think they're well-dressed only. Well, that woke him up, preacher. See, I'm not saying that. You know, there's an extreme on either side. I'm trying to point out to you that these things do not necessarily signal that a person has holiness or has been sanctified. Now, that brings up the question, what is holiness then? Or sanctification then? Now, here's the answer. Holiness, without which no man will see God. It's rather necessary, isn't it? Amen. Without which no man will see God. Holiness is a divine work that God begins and continues in the heart of a person when they are saved. That's holiness and sanctification. It doesn't come by praying through to eradicate the Adamic nature after you're saved. It begins when you were saved and converted and came to Christ and were born again with your conversion, with your redemption, with your reconciliation, with your justification, with your adoption, and all those other good words, along with all those good things, let me tell you, God created holiness and sanctification in your soul. Amen. The word means to set apart. Now some take it further and say to be set apart from sin. Jesus said in John 17:19, he had sanctified himself, so it's rather difficult for him to be set apart from sin. Holiness, sanctification means that when God saved you, he put inside of you that which qualified you then and there to be set apart for him. All right, so far, so good. Now, God begins this holiness, this sanctification at conversion, and it is carried over the rest of our lives, or at least it should be, to be set apart. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 now, and I'll show you biblically how this holiness sanctification business worked on one of Paul's missionary journeys in Acts 18. When he went into the city of Corinth, he didn't get his support check from his churches or whatever they did in those days, so he took a job tent making. He's a good missionary. He said, money or no money, I'm winning souls. They can keep their check. Practice that today and see what happens. So he got a job tent making and won these Corinthians to the Lord, and he writes this letter back to them about 4 years later. And he's reminding them, all right, that's the background. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Now we're talking about holiness and sanctification, when you get it and what it does. Verse 9. Paul said, know you not, this is a favorite expression of our missionary, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now he lists 10 horrific sins here. And people who live in that and practice that, Paul said, they won't get into heaven. Period. But here's good news. Look at verse 11. Wow, I'm sure glad this is here. Verse 11. And such were some of you. Well, glory. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? People ask me, Brother Pike, do you believe a homosexual can be saved? Do you believe a murderer can be saved? What does it say here? He names 10 sins, and he says, and such were some of you. Well, what on earth happened to them? All the funded programs to cure them won't work. All the dry them out, hang them out on the clothesline institutions, the Springwell Center in Greenville, South Carolina, where they bring the drug addicts in and they do good for 6 months and whacko, they're back at it. Look, all the program, and I'm not necessarily knocking all the programs, incidentally. I heard a preacher knocking Alcohol Anonymous one time. That upset me so bad. And I said, as long as they don't preach Christ out of it, I'm not against it. And I want to tell you, folk, look, sinners can be saved. Amen. They can be saved. Why in the world did the Son of God come to this circus anyhow? To save, seek and save that which is lost, he said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And Paul said, now, when this was read in the church, there were men out there that had been sodomites and you name it, and murderers and all of it. And Paul said, and such were some of you. Well, what in the world happened? Look, listen to the verse here. Here it is. And such were some of you, but, oh glory, you are, read that word, church, sanctified. Yeah, man, that's it right there. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. Now, three things occurred in their life. First, they were washed. So they were baptized, Acts 2:38, and it washed their sins away. Nonsense. They were, look, water washes on the outside. Water will remove the dirt from your face, from behind your ears. It'll even wash the dirt out of your ears. It'll even wash the dirt out of your mouth, out from under your fingernails. But water doesn't touch the origin and the source of sin, which is the heart on the inside. And when Paul said you were washed, he's talking about a Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Man, he's talking about being washed in the blood of God's Son, which washes inside where water washes outside. That's what happened to this crowd here. They got blood washed. Then he says, you are sanctified. You see, I told you that holiness comes with conversion. Just told you that, and this says it. It puts the washing in the blood first, or being born again first, and along with that, second thing on dock is, you've been made holy. You've been sanctified, and then I preached to you here weeks and weeks ago what justification is. Justification is not salvation. Justification is a declaration made upon a man who has been saved. And the declaration, God the judge of all, after he's been saved, God said, you are dakaiua, you are justified. I see you as though you had never sinned. Out of here, you're an innocent man. That is right there in the Bible. So when I came to Christ in 1946, sure would have been helpful, Steve, if somebody had pulled me aside and said, now, young man, let me teach you what you got when you got saved. Nobody taught me. Well, I struggled and battled and struggled and battled and lost my legs and in the hospital and struggled and battled and grew up in a home that was like a battlefield until my dad got saved. And struggled in battle, and nobody taught me. So one of the young men asked me, said, these messages on important words in the Bible. You know why I'm bringing you these messages? I want to leave you something that you can fall back on the rest of your days. When you came to Christ and He saved you, you got all these other things, but you got holiness. And you got sanctified. Meaning you were set apart at conversion, set apart for some kind of usage. Now I want to ask you, what is that? General Grazia played this with us last night. As you know, he's traveling right now. He's on his way to Timbuktu 6 or wherever they're sending him up there. And we were talking, and he got ready to go. He said, have you got some tracks? I said, yes, I got them all ready. I had them ready for him. I was ahead of him a mile on this one. And Brother Paisley, I gave him a big old stack about like that. And I said, now, Jim, I want you to do this for me. I said, I want you, as you move along and get to your new assignment, I said, I want you to get out God's Word. That man, you know what he said? He said, Brother Pike, I'm weary with the army. I want to give the rest of my life serving God. Now, you know what's happening in that man's soul? The purpose of his sanctification when he got saved from Roman Catholicism, the purpose of his sanctification is coming to the center stage. And he wants to, he's had enough of it, he said. He said, it's changing. And loyalties are changing. And I want to spend the rest of my life in the service of God. Look, when you were saved back there, back yonder at that time of that place, you say, well, I'm not educated and I have to work 12 hours a day. Who doesn't work 12 hours a day anymore? That doesn't excuse any of us for not finding out why God sanctified us, made us holy, and set us apart when He saved us. I want to say to everybody, Asa and Seth and Andrew and the young people and the little boys and the little girls and little Jordan over here, and I want to say to the young and the old alike, when you were saved, you were set apart by a divine act of the sovereignty of God in the atonement of Christ, and you were set apart to do something for the Lord. And this dumb idea in the South, unless you're a big preacher or a big this or big other, you're not serving God. I want to tell you, away with that stuff. The more I can see it, God's work is held together by the common, everyday, ordinary man who's out here beating his brains out on a job, trying to pay his debts, trying to feed his family, trying to be honest and upright. And brother, come time to march to God's house, he's there, he's giving his tithe, he's trying to keep his family straight. I'm convinced that's the secret of the work of God today. I'm convinced that's the secret of it. And I want to lay it upon you men and you women who feel like because you don't have a place on the stage, stay off the stage. There's enough fools on the stage as there are today. And the everyday, ordinary, count yourself unimportant. Well, I can't do this and I can't do that. Don't tell me anybody, unless you're just a jerk, you can pick a salt shaker up and put a track under it and put it down. Can't you? Huh? If you can't, I'll give you a good lesson in it. How to do it. There's a place where we can serve. Sanctification. All right. I want to show you this now. Now, you'll have to follow careful. With salvation comes sanctification. You got it when you were born again. Didn't know that. We're learning it now. Like the military man traveling now, it's blossoming in his life and he wants to know and to do. The Bible teaches us that sanctification is in three stages in our lives. Listen very carefully. When I was saved in January 1946 at the First Baptist Church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, nobody told me. I didn't discover this until years later. I wish they had. I lost the time, but at least it was discovered in time. I hope in time. Nobody told me that when I was saved, God gave me sanctification and holiness. And nobody told me that it's in three stages over the rest of my life. Listen carefully. Number one, when a man is saved, first, he gets past sanctification complete. Two, when a man is saved, he then has present sanctification progressive through this life. Think. Number three, ouch under someday, in the future, we're going to have perfect sanctification forever. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes, sir.
That one's coming up. I want to talk to you about each of these stages just briefly now, for the benefit especially of the tape and for you who are listening. Now, when you were saved, God gave you past sanctification complete at your conversion. He gave it to you. At the moment you were saved or reconciled back to God or adopted in God's family, remember those words? At the moment that happened, you were sanctified in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2, Paul writes the believers at Corinth, and he talks about them that are sanctified in Christ. Now, here's something Baptists have a hard time with because it's not hip, hip, hooray business. When you were converted back there, whenever it was, at that conversion, God took you, and from His viewpoint and His consideration, God put you in His Son Christ, and you became a benefactor and a partaker of all the potential that Christ has. God sees you in Christ. You should have heard Tony Fowler teach his Sunday school lesson this morning. Some of you'd still be on the ceiling. You should have heard that one. When the Lord saved you, whether you say, well, I don't see it, that doesn't change it. I don't see how a black cow eats green grass and gives white milk and churn and stuff and make yellow butter. I don't see how that works to save my life. But it all comes out that way on the end, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
And so when you were saved, God gave you perfect, total, full sanctification, complete in Christ. You are sanctified completely in Christ. It is total and sufficient. That's what we have in Christ. Now, mind you, God sees this from His viewpoint. Most of us don't see it from our viewpoint. I can tell you, people, that the view from heaven down here is much better than my view from down here up there. Because when I try to see myself in Christ from my viewpoint, Tony, I say, wait a minute, we've got the tail wagging the dog here, it can't be. And yet when I look at it through God's eyes, from God's viewpoint, and God said, you are sanctified, you are holy, I have put you in Christ, and His perfect righteousness, His perfect holiness has been acquired by faith, and all He is, you are, and that's how I consider you from my viewpoint. Not much on that one, but I'm sure glad it's so. Ronnie, hurt you? That's a good one. Let me point out to you a couple of verses. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Here's what it says. It says, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Made holy, set apart, Pam, once for all. How? Through the offering of Christ on the cross. Young people, would to God you'd lay this in your heart. It will help you over a lot of storms that will surely, surely fall on your life. Listen at this passage here. I've given it to you already twice. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. Set apart in Him. That's how God sees you and me. Now, Bradley, I don't see myself like that. I want to. I struggle to. That's how God sees me. So that's past sanctification complete in Christ. Now, if when the Lord saved me back there in 1946 January, if the Lord had saved me and then killed me 2 seconds afterwards, that would have been wonderful. Everything perfect and I'm out of here. But because sanctification involves being set apart for something, the Lord said, now I've saved him, and somewhere down the road I want him to discover that this initial, original sanctification takes on another progressive stage in his life, and over the rest of his life, I hope that this young man will discover that there is a progressive moving forward and moving forward and moving forward over the rest of his life until I do take him out of this world. But Ron, nobody told me that. And so I struggle when I would do this, I would struggle when I would do that. I couldn't understand it, and nobody explained it to me. After a person is saved, then they enter into the second phase of sanctification, and that's present sanctification, progressive. This is the second level. It goes like this. Another name for this one is called growing in grace. The Reformed people don't believe this. The Deformed people deny this. They say it's not true. They say when you're saved, you get it all and there's no more to get. And whatever you do, God's just stuff of the flesh and doesn't really go down in the books. I want to tell you something. When God saved us, He saved us complete. And it's total and it's absolute. But after God saved me, fortunately, unfortunately, I've been living a lot of years since then. And I've been living in this stuff. And I've had the same temptations and probably some you've never had and vice versa with you. And I want to tell you, if the sanctification that God sees me in my soul as total and sufficient in Christ, that same sanctification is then to rise out in my daily life and to guide me into one form of dedication, to another form of dedication, to another form of dedication, to another form of holiness. And that's progressive sanctification over the rest of our life. Let me give you a classic illustration. Three Sunday nights ago, I brought a message here on wine and the Lord's wine and the marriage feast at Cana. There is a person who is in this church and going on with God, and that person came to me and stood. Now, I'm showing you about progressive sanctification. When you hear something in God's Word, you're ready to do it. You know the Lord's talked to you people about a lot of things, and you've chucked them out the window. There's saved people sitting here this morning, and God has spoken to your heart about this, and spoken to your heart about that, and spoken to your heart about that. You say, she's right, mate. She's all right, Lord. I'll take care of it later. When this person heard the message about the Christian attitude towards strong drink, he came down in his studio, and he said, and this man was shaken up. He didn't come down. What do you mean? Not that at all. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I've listened to God's Word tonight. He said, it's worked in my heart. He said, before God, I'll never touch wine again as long as I live. Do you know what happened? Progressive sanctification. Christ said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. In John 17:17. And he heard the word of truth about the Christian attitude toward wine and strong drink. And he said, I'm going to obey God's word and I'm done. And he's not a drunkard. He just has a little glass of table wine with a bowl of Tony spaghetti. But you see, the word of God sanctified him. And he said, I'm through with it. It's gone forever. I didn't do it. Progressive sanctification. You know what's wrong with some of you folks sitting here and most of you listen to the text. You know what's wrong? You're not going to do this. You're stubborn as a pig. You've already made your mind up. You know exactly how far you're going with the Lord. And some of you sitting here, you're not going. If Paul preached, you'd argue Paul out of his sandals. Well, I want to tell you what. If you want to be set apart for God's usage, you've got to have progressive sanctification in your life. You know, I've got things in my life that I'm not aware of right now. This man may preach. I may listen to a tape. I may read a book. And suddenly God will show me that's wrong. That's not right. It's wrong in my life. And if progressive sanctification is working, I'll say, Lord, that's wrong. I repent of it. It's out of my life. I won't have it again. That's progressive sanctification. Amen. Let me show you the instruments of this kind of sanctification. John 17:7. Christ said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. He's praying for saved people. Ephesians 5:26. Washing of water, cleansing by the word. 1 Peter 1:2. Sanctification through the Spirit. How many of you saved people have been sitting in a service and there was something in your life and you weren't really sure about it? And the preacher didn't even know you existed, and you heard God's Word, and the Holy Spirit joined Himself to that message, and He and God's Word mixed together in your heart, and it was just like somebody throwing the door open, and there lays the corpse. And the door was thrown open, and you say, oh, my soul in heaven, look at here. This is me. I'm guilty. I've got this in my life. I've got to do something and get it out. Brother, that's progressive sanctification working. Don't rebel against it. Don't fight against it. When God speaks to you about something, immediately make preparations to do something about it. And that's progressive cleansing, progressive growing in grace. That's putting off the old, putting on the new. That's growing up into the full stature of the image of Christ. That kind of sanctification. And then there's one more, and I guess I'll have to tell you, this is the one I'm partial to. The last one. That's future sanctification, perfect. Perfect. I wish you I wish some of you wouldn't miss Sunday school. I wish some of you would hear the lessons that I've been preaching a long time, and I read a lot of books. And I'm going to tell you, my eyes are opened all along the line. And dear people, as great as it is in God, and as great as it is in Christ, and as great as it is to look back over your life and you've tried with all your mess ups to do the best you can for God, as good as that all is, I'm telling you, weeping endures for a night, but I got good news. Joy is coming in the morning.
Amen.
It's coming in the morning.
Yes, sir.
And Chuck, honey, you got a long way to go, and Melissa and this little one on down the road, and hell's waiting for you with bloody fangs. I can tell you that, and all the rest of us, what's left of us. But one of these days, that sanctification that God gave me in Christ in January 1946 that qualified me as being a saved man forever, and that sanctification that has been progressive in clearing this up and clearing that up and growing in grace, one of these days that sanctification is going to step over and it's going to be sanctification perfect forever. Won't that be wonderful? Now, I don't know. Let's see, what time is it here? Man, it's 11:30. Isn't that awful? One of these days, somewhere down the road, we don't know when, somewhere down the road, old man Faith has walked with me for a long time. I tell you, Don, old man Faith has had such a battle with me. I've argued with him. I've slapped him around. I've pulled his beard. I've pinched him. I've said, old man Faith, you just don't work. But he's always stayed there. And he's helped me along and helped me along and helped me along. And I said, well, old man Faith, what about this? And old man Faith has just said, just be quiet. Let's go. But one of these days, one of these nights, one of these mornings, old man Faith is going to say, hey, Randy, come here just a minute. I said, what do you want now? I've about had enough of you. He said, you don't need me any longer. Look over there. There's Jesus. And the gate's open. I'm going to say, cheerio. And going to be gone. And when we step over there, you know the sanctification then? Complete in body and soul. No wonder in Revelation it says, I make all things new. Mom's not going to be in that hospital, Jerry. She's not. That young man, 40-something years old, determined, diagnosed with cancer. He's out of here with a light wife and some little babies. Listen, folks, one of these days, our sanctification that began way back there is going to come into full fruition. And it's going to be complete.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And preacher, you won't be beating your brains out down here trying to get this done and that done. And people calling you every 50. Don't that bug you? Calling you every 15 minutes when you're in the middle of an important job. It's going to all be over. And it all started when I got sanctified and made holy when I was saved.
Amen.
And out there down the road, I'm going to be a holy in body, holy in soul, and holy in spirit. And in heaven forever.
Amen.
That's the fifth important word in the Bible.
Amen.
Holiness and sanctification. Is God using you because your conscience that you're set apart? You're running? You say, had a bad experience? Hey, talk to me. I'll tell you 10 bad experiences. I won't tell you, folks, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You know, there's some of you people who used to sing in the choir. Why aren't you in the choir anymore? Now, listen to me. Some of you used to play that instrument. You don't play it anymore. Some of you used to be on Wednesday night prayer meeting on your knees. And I'm not talking about being sick and old and you're not here anymore. What's happened? Have you dropped the ball? Can I challenge you in this closing prayer? Can I challenge you? If you don't want to come down here, I don't care. You can stand on your head. I don't care where you can hang on the chandelier. If you can get out on your knees... There are many of you people right here, many of you listening to this tape. You need to get down on your knees right now and say, God, progressive sanctification is not working in me. This thing happened and that thing happened. I decided I'm going to park at the meter for a while and you're still parked. And I'm going to tell you what. You know how this thing goes? First of all, people say, well, People say, I can't. And then about 10 years later, they're saying, I won't. And then 20 years, preacher, they're saying, never, never, never. That's how it works. Sanctification. Let's stand and pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for the marvel of sanctification and holiness. Thank you for how you designed it works, past, present, and my future. I pray today that you'd minister to the hearts of these dear people and these who may be listening and bring folks back to where they should be. In Christ's name. Our own eye musicians to play through one verse of whatever, and if God's talking to your heart, you obey the Lord right now. Maybe you should obey the Lord with your wife or husband if they're willing, or your parent. You obey the Lord. Come on. Come on. Set apart by God's grace. Set apart for what? To resign and withdraw and step out? They that be planted in the house of God shall bring forth fruit in old age. My, my. Now, I want to ask our musicians to halt just a moment. I want to say this. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you don't know Christ is your Savior, and boy, you know it. Wow. You know it. And you say, Mr. Pike, whatever, look, I need help. I want God. I'm tired of playing Dick Tracy and cops and robbers. I want to be saved. God's on my case. I want to be saved today. Now, if you want to, we've got men and women here who can help you and lead you to Christ or assist you, however. And if you're not joining this church, that's not what we're talking about. You're coming to miss help. As they play through one more verse, anybody else that needs to respond in any way, but especially if you're unsaved, come on. Give me a signal as you're coming and we'll help you. Anyone. Anyone else? Sanctified, set apart, just to be a husband, a wife, a dad, but a Christian. Just to be a carpenter, but a Christian. Just to be a truck driver, but a Christian. Just to be a hospital worker, but a Christian. That's progressive sanctification working out. All right, thank you. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. We have some still praying here. We'll just do quietly. Brother Page has something he needs to say to a few here before they go. Let's bow and be dismissed, shall we?